Good morning, everyone. I read to you from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 to 15, from the New Living Translation. Later on, in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain." So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Meanwhile, the famine became very severe in Samaria. So Ahab summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Obadiah was a devoted follower of the Lord. Once, when Jezebel had tried to kill all the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had hidden 100 of them in 2 caves. He put 50 prophets in each cave and supplied them with food and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, "We must check every spring and valley in the land to see if we can find enough grass to save at least some of my horses and mules." So they divided the land between them. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was walking along, he suddenly saw Elijah coming towards him. Obadiah recognized him at once and bowed low to the ground before him. "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" he asked. "Yes, it is," Elijah replied. "Now go and tell your master, Elijah is here." "Oh, sir," Obadiah protested, "what harm have I done to you that you are sending me to my death at the hands of Ahab? For I swear by the Lord your God that the king has searched every nation and kingdom on earth from end to end to find you, and each time he was told Elijah isn't here. King Ahab forced the king of that nation to swear to the truth of his claim, and now you say, 'Go and tell your master, Elijah is here.' But as soon as I leave, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away to whom knows where. When Ahab comes and cannot find you, he will kill me. Yet I have been a true servant of the Lord all my life. Has no one told you, my Lord, about the time when Jezebel was trying to kill the Lord's prophets? I hid 100 of them in 2 caves and supplied them with food and water. And you now say, 'Go and tell your master Elijah is here.' Sir, if I do that, Ahab will certainly kill me." But Elijah said, "I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to Ahab this very day." Amen.
Right, first get things organized. There we go. I have lived a number of years in Amsterdam. That was just before I started my theology studies. I was an electronics engineer for Fokker Aircraft Factories, and there in Amsterdam, I met an evangelist from Campus Crusade for Christ, and he explained the gospel to me in a very new way. I was a Christian, I was a nominal Christian, but he explained the gospel to me in such a way that I could, the only proper response was fall down on my knees and confess my sins and accepted him as my Savior. And from then onwards, there was a new life for me. And everybody had to know. And the Campus Crusade evangelist told me that it was expected of me to do door-to-door evangelism. So I joined him going from door-to-door in Amsterdam and telling people about Jesus. Well, I did not feel very comfortable in doing this, especially not with him. Well, if you expats think the Dutch are very straightforward and direct, don't go to Amsterdam because that's probably the worst. He was a guy who, if somebody would open the door and said, "Well, I'm not interested, I don't believe in God," he would say, "Ah, your name is in the Bible. What is it then?" "Well, that's Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Bang. Well, apart from him being very direct and very Dutch, I did not, this was not something that was, I'm more of the, I don't know. I didn't feel comfortable doing this door-to-door evangelism. Well, that's as an introduction to Obadiah and Elijah, because these two are very different. And there are many commentators who say, "Oh, don't be like Obadiah. Be like Elijah. That's the true servant of the Lord." All right, let's have a closer look at the passage that Esther has read with us. Obadiah, the first thing we read of him is that he is an officer in charge of the royal palace. The second thing we read about him is that he is a devout believer, literally, as it is translated in the Authorized Version, the King James. He feared the Lord greatly. And there is not, he was a nominal believer, as it were. No, he feared the Lord greatly. That's what the Hebrew says literally. Thirdly, we read about Obadiah that he hid and nourished 100 prophets of the Lord. Now, that was a very brave thing to do, and the text is very clear. They use the Hebrew uses different words for killing, but there are two times that they're exactly the same word is used in this passage to kill. One is that Jezebel had killed all the prophets, and the other moment is when Ahab says to Obadiah, "Oh, we must go and look for grass because otherwise I have to kill the horses." And here comes the enormous contrast between Ahab, who's not concerned about his people and is more concerned about his horses surviving the severe famine, but allowing Jezebel to kill the prophets of the Lord. Well, in the midst of this terrible reign of Ahab and Jezebel, here is the chief officer of the palace, right in the middle of the lion's den, as it were, organizing it in such a way that at least 100 prophets of the Lord would be hid, he would hide, and he would nourish and give them bread and water in two different caves. Wow. Now, these things are all repeated again in verse 12 and 13. And the name of Obadiah is literally servant of the Lord. That's the meaning of the Hebrew name Obadiah. He calls himself servant of Elijah, but he's not a prophet himself. Obadiah is very different from Elijah, but both were instruments in God's dealings with Israel. Now, reading about Obadiah and all the danger he was in hiding the prophets, and it is a very easy link, jump, bridge to make to Jesus. Jesus, who was talking about sheep among wolves, that we, as followers of Jesus, of those who fear the Lord, are sent as sheep among wolves. It's there in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Jesus warns his disciples there will be persecution. And if there is persecution, don't be surprised. You can't find the switch. You have got it. Okay, there you go. Don't be surprised if you're persecuted, because they persecuted me. Therefore, if you are following me, you also will be persecuted. I love the way that Eugene Peterson has translated this verse, Matthew 10, verse 16, or interpreted the verse, just with the verse preceding it, adding it to it. It goes like this: stay alert. This is hazardous work I'm assigning you. You're going to be like sheep running through a wolf pack. So don't call attention to yourselves. Be as cunning as a snake, inoffensive as a dove. Don't be naive. Some people will impugn your motives. Others will smear your reputation just because you believe in me. Hazardous work. That is when we are sent into the world. That's why this Sunday morning is important, that here in church we read the scriptures, we pray for each other, we worship our God, and we're strengthened for the new week. When we need to relate to people and need to serve people, people who do not know Jesus, people who can be very hostile towards us as Christians, it is hazardous work. And Eugene Peterson says, don't call attention to yourselves. Be as cunning as a snake and inoffensive as a dove. So there are different words translated. In the NIV, it is shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. There are other, wise and careful. That's another translation. And try and find, all right, what does Jesus mean? How should we behave? I think Obadiah is a very good example. I think that Jesus even more would advise us to be like Obadiah and not so much like Elijah. So there we go. Obadiah in a high position, even entrusted with the task to find Elijah. That's Obadiah. He used God. God has used him for his purposes. We read even in 1 Kings chapter 19, that the Lord has reserved 7,000 people who have not bowed their knees for Baal. And 100 of them, thanks to Obadiah. So, how can we apply this to us living here in a secular age? The three things I'd like to suggest. First of all, very important, it is fear the Lord. That was what Obadiah did. He feared the Lord greatly. And if there is one way to be ready to take your stand, to persevere in this world, it's don't concentrate too much on all the dangers and all the hard work. But primarily concentrate on God, how much he is to be feared. And the fear of the Lord, which we read about in the Bible, is not be afraid of God, although I love how the Beavers explained this to in the C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And they explain, the Beavers explain to the children, I think it's Lucy or Susan or whoever, about Aslan. Ooh, a lion. Ooh. Am I safe with a lion? Safe with a lion? No. No, you're not safe. But he is good. He is good. So fearing the Lord does not mean being afraid, but being in awe, having, wow, this is God. He's much greater, much more powerful than all the negative and positive powers in the world together. He's the source of all life. To fear him. And whenever things on earth and circumstances in your life try to make you small, try to make you not believe anymore in God, go back to the scriptures and sing about him and fear him, and it will make you strong again. In the Bible, there is much about the fear of the Lord. For instance, there in Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But I love the other one in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Proverbs 14, verse 26. There we read, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. So even those who you care for, maybe you're not married, but maybe you are married but you have no children. Still, what this verse is saying, when you fear the Lord, then those who you care for will be will find a shelter with you and near to you. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. Fear the Lord. Secondly, share testimonies. This was a great testimony for Elijah. Even when he was, we will read it in a 2 weeks' time. Was it 3 weeks' time? I'm not quite sure. That Elijah cries to God, I'm the only one left. I think he forgot about what Obadiah did. But at the moment that Obadiah shared this with Elijah, he must have been very much encouraged. Wow. Did you, as the officer of the palace of Ahab, hide 100 prophets? Wow. And God has blessed you in helping God, in serving him. Share testimonies. God is faithful. Read about the persecuted church. Read, go to Open Doors or the International Day of Open Prayer. Read about how God is faithful to those who are persecuted. There are great testimonies of Christians who persevere. It was in the newspaper, in a Dutch newspaper yesterday, that the church in Syria is expanding in spite of the war. It's incredible. The other thing I read in the newspaper, it was about China, that several districts in China, a law has been accepted that there are no churches allowed in the vicinity of schools for I don't know how many kilometers. There are China's obviously a big, big country, but there are major parts in China where it's so difficult to be a Christian. But in spite of that persecution, there is growth. The church is growing enormously there. So read about it and be encouraged. Pray for each other. Share in small groups. We hope we will be able to start small groups. It needs a lot of organization, and the leadership is very limited at this moment. We have only a few leaders, so we first concentrate on finding new deacons before we go ahead and finding and organizing small groups. But don't wait until the small groups are organized. Get in touch with each other. Invite each other. Open your homes. Invite people at your table. And then share. And don't just share the victories. It's even perhaps more important that you share your struggles. If you can't share your struggles in church, where can you share your struggles? And this is what church is all about. Yes, it's vulnerable. And you need to be careful, because some of these Christians, as soon as you share a struggle, oh, I'll pray for you. Oh, and you should do this, and you should do that. And you get all sorts of advice and Bible texts, and then that's the solution. But sharing is not, first of all, that you ask the other person to solve your problem. But sharing is just to open up your heart so that the other person will understand a little bit what you're going through. And say, wow, that's not easy. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to pray for this coming week for you in this situation. And the next Sunday you ask, right, how did it go last week? That's sharing. Now, just I won't ask you to say something, but can you just raise your hand if at this moment in school, in college, in your work, in the neighborhood where you live, in the family, your family, if there are struggles for you to stand as a Christian, can you just raise your hand? Who's struggling to be a Christian in your place? And so you don't have to come forward. You don't have to say something. Just raise your hand. Wow. That's 1/3 here. And this is 1/3 of this group. And this is the Netherlands, where there's freedom of religion. How much more in more hostile countries? So we need each other. That's being church, and that's why we will celebrate communion. Get bread and wine. And we do it every month, every third month. The third Sunday in the month. And it's to strengthen us. All right, Jesus died on the cross. He suffered. He knows what I'm going through. If you look worldwide, this is the latest map that Open Doors has published now on persecution. The countries in red, there is extreme persecution. The ones in orange, there is very high percentage of persecution. And in yellow, it's high. I'm not quite sure whether you can read this, but on top of the list, it is North Korea. Second is Afghanistan. Third, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, Eritrea, Yemen, that's number 8. Iran, number 9. India, number 10. Syria, number 11. Well, these are the 11 red countries. Extreme. So let's pray for each other. Share our lives. We are called to be servants of the Lord. Yes, and there are different ways to serve him. Maybe you are a kind of an Elijah and you don't mind, you go door to door. I think Karun is a kind of a door to door. He would say, "Oh, Gilbert, didn't feel comfortable in Amsterdam. You should have called me. I like to go to the door." That's Karun. Okay, that's Karun. I'm different. And maybe you're different as well. But what unites us is the love of Jesus Christ, is that Jesus has saved us, and that we want to serve him, and that we serve him in our capacities, with our character, in our time, and with your talents and your gifts. You don't have to be somebody else. Be who you are, with your gifts and your limitations. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the very fact that whenever we fear you, we are safe. We will be in you. And we will have a secure fortress. Lord, forgive us that sometimes we fear more the evil around us than we fear you. And as in just a moment we will celebrate communion, we pray, dear Lord, that you will bless us in such a way that we are strengthened in our faith to fear you. Lord, we give you thanks that you have called us to serve you in this world. And there is so much to do. And sometimes it's very dangerous to serve you. And we have to do things in secret. At this moment, I do pray especially for those who are here members but are married to a non-Christian. I pray, dear Lord, for wisdom. Pray that on the one hand, they'll be innocent, naive as doves, but on the other hand, shrewd, knowing what to do, what to say, and when to invite. Comfort those who are there in families, alone. Strengthen their faith, dear Lord. We pray for those who just raised their hands and said, by saying, "Yes, I'm going through a hard time. It's not easy for me to be a Christian in the neighborhood or in the factory, the business where I'm working, the school where I'm learning or teaching." We pray, dear Lord, that you will reveal to them how they may serve you there. Very small little things, or maybe something bigger. Reveal it to them, dear Lord. Help them to listen and to discern what you are saying through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, lastly, we pray for the persecuted church. We pray for the church in North Korea. So many of our brothers and sisters suffer immensely there. We pray, dear Lord, for those who suffer in Iran, in India, as we have people worshipping with us from Iran and from India. We pray for their families and the place where they used to live, where it's hard to be a Christian. We pray for the people of India and the people of Iran. Maybe at this moment, we just take a moment of silent prayer and pray for your home country. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you are the faithful God, that we may continue to serve you, that the church may continue to serve you, that Jesus is continuing to serve you and us and praying, that Israel is still your servant. You are the faithful God. We praise and worship you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.